But water also warms slowly, which is why lakes and swimming pools are cold even on the hottest days. For that reason, there tends to be a lag in the official astronomical start of a season and the actual feeling that the season has started. So spring may officially start in the Northern Hemisphere in March, but it doesn't feel like it in most places until April at the very earliest. The oceans are not one uniform mass of water. Their differences in temperature, salinity, depth, density, and so on have huge effects on how they move heat around, which in turn affects climate. The Atlantic, for instance, is saltier than the Pacific, and a good thing too. The saltier water is, the denser it is, and dense water sinks. Without its extra burden of salt, the Atlantic currents would proceed up to the Arctic, warming the North Pole, but depriving Europe of all that kindly warmth. The main agent of heat transfer on Earth is what is known as thermohaline circulation, which originates in slow, deep currents far below the surface, a process first detected by the scientist adventurer Count von Rumford in 1797. What happens is that surface waters, as they get to the vicinity of Europe, grow dense and sink to great depths, and begin a slow trip back to the southern hemisphere. When they reach Antarctica, they are caught up in the Antarctic circumpolar current, where they are driven onward into the Pacific. The process is very slow. It can take 1,500 years for water to travel from the North Atlantic to the mid-Pacific, but the volumes of heat and water they move are very considerable, and the influence on the climate is enormous. As for the question of how anyone could possibly figure out how long it takes a drop of water to get from one ocean to another, the answer is that scientists can measure compounds in the water, like chlorofluorocarbons, and work out how long it has been since they were last in the air. By comparing a lot of measurements from different depths and locations, they can reasonably chart the water's movement. Thermohaline circulation not only moves heat around, but also helps to stir up nutrients as the currents rise and fall, making greater volumes of the ocean habitable for fish and other marine creatures. Unfortunately, it appears the circulation may also be very sensitive to change. According to computer simulations, even a modest dilution of the ocean's salt content, from increased melting of the Greenland ice sheet, for instance, could disrupt the cycle disastrously. The seas do one other great favour for us. They soak up tremendous volumes of carbon and provide a means for it to be safely locked away. One of the oddities of our solar system is that the sun burns about 25% more brightly now than when the solar system was young. This should have resulted in a much warmer Earth. Indeed, as the English geologist Aubrey Manning has put it, this colossal change should have had an absolutely catastrophic effect on the Earth, and yet it appears that our world has hardly been affected. So what keeps the world stable and cool? Life does.